According to an anonymous study from 2014 by Drexel University, more than half of undergraduate students said they had sexted when they were teenagers. Another study by the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston found that students who admitted to sexting were 32% more likely to report having sex the next year.
Here to catch us up on the legal aspect of sexting for kids and their parents is Michelle Chater. She's an attorney in private practice in Madison, Wisconsin. She's a founding member of the DUI Defense Lawyers Association, and she's on the board of directors for the Wisconsin Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. Michelle, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, first off, most people probably know this by now, but how do you define sexting these days?
I think that the definition from the Wisconsin Department of Justice is succinct and accurate, and they call it the act of sending sexually explicit messages or photographs primarily between mobile phones.
Why do you think the parents and their children need to be aware of the ramifications, the legal aspects of sexting?
Because I don't think that many parents or certainly kids understand how children get caught up in the criminal statutes that we currently have on the books. In fact, I don't think most legislatures understand that.
Well, I mean, we'll get into the statutes in a little bit, but I think a lot of teenagers may think that sexting is harmless. These are just pictures and words. Is it harmless?
It's not, and it's not harmless for a number of reasons. One is there are tremendous social ramifications involved with sexting. We've had across the country situations where children have been involved in bullying from their friends and peers because of sexual images sent. We've had children who have been subject to extortion from friends and peers and made to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. We've also had situations where adults have gotten a hold of images of children and have made them to do things that they don't want to do as well. Sexual predators can get these images with a frightening amount of ease.
And overall, what is your sense of how well-informed teenagers may be about the consequences of sexting?
I think not very well informed, and I learned this as a parent because I had a case that came into my office involving a 13-year-old who was sexting, and I realized my son is 13, and I probably should have a conversation with him. And in doing so, I was surprised at what he didn't know, and he lives with two lawyers. And I realized that this is probably a pretty common lack of knowledge on their part.
Well, let's get into that. So is sexting against the law?
Sexting is not against the law per se. In other words, two adults that engage in sexting, while it may not be a good idea for a number of reasons, is not a crime, assuming that it's consensual. Sexting involving juveniles, people under the age of 18 in the state of Wisconsin, is many times illegal because of the way in which our child pornography laws are phrased.
So it sounds like this comes down to statutes maybe pertaining to child pornography. So how does that relate to what teens are doing when they may sext each other?
Well, the only tool that law enforcement has is to deal with these issues when they come into, you know, their districts via complaints and so forth, is to look at the laws that we currently have. And the laws that we currently have that deal with images of children are child pornography laws, and they are not specific to children. In fact, they were created with adults in mind. In other words, the image of an adult making pornographic images or videos of children and then sharing them with other adults. What most people don't understand is that because of the way our law is written, children sharing consensually images of each other fits the definition of child pornography. And in fact, we've had children prosecuted under these statutes.
So who's liable, say, in a scenario here, you've got two 16-year-olds maybe sexting back and forth, sending pictures that are explicit. What are sort of the legal dangers there?
It is illegal to make an image, a sexually explicit image of a child. It is, even if you are that child, it is illegal to transmit that image. It's illegal to forward that image. and it's illegal to receive and be in possession of that image. So both the sender, the maker, and the receiver are technically committing a felony.
We're talking right now with Michelle Shader, attorney in private practice in Madison, also a founding member of the DUI Defense Lawyers Association. And Michelle, so let's say that there is some legal action that comes down, and one person in the scenario, what if only one person is receiving a sext? They didn't ask for it, but there it is on their phone. Are they somehow liable in this?
They are liable. That image is there on their phone. That's possession. It's virtually impossible to truly erase anything on our phones nowadays. People don't realize that law enforcement can go in and they have very sophisticated computer programs that can retrieve most deleted images. My advice to kids, if they receive an image that is an illegal one, in other words, a sexually explicit one or even potentially a sexually explicit message, is to respond, say that they do not want to receive images like that and ask that it please stop. Now, even though they are still in possession of that image and may delete it, at least they've created that record to indicate that this was not something that they sought.
What are the penalties for this kind of thing?
The penalties are severe. If you are charged, if you're waived into adult court and charged as an adult with child pornography, for example, we have a mandatory minimum of 3 years in prison, a $500 fine per image, and lifetime sex offender reporting.
Have you seen this actually played out like that for someone who's under the age of 18, maybe who did get waived into adult court like you were talking about?
Well, first and foremost, a 17-year-old will be considered an adult under our law. So 17-year-olds don't need to even be waived into adult court. They're automatically charged as adults. We have seen some examples of other kids being prosecuted in the juvenile system as opposed to the adult system. In fact, there's been many juvenile prosecutions of children for sexting. And while that doesn't leave a lifelong criminal record the same way that an adult conviction does, it's still a devastating effect.
So you're saying if you're 17, you're automatically going to be considered an adult in this scenario?
In any criminal scenario, yes.
And in terms of protecting children from this, they're still children, they're under the age of 18, what can parents do?
There's a lot that parents should be doing. One is they should be talking to their kids about this and making sure that their children understand not just the laws and the criminal ramifications involved, but also that kids understand how sending and receiving these images can be harmful to them and things that they may not ever escape. You know, the Center for Missing and Exploited Children knows that of the 130 million images of children containing child pornography, one in four were initially posted by the child themselves. So sending out these images to somebody that you want to have them is no guarantee that the entire world will not have access to them. And once something's on the internet, it never goes away. Children need to understand that. It's a hard thing for kids to think that far in the future, but it's something that they need to know. The other thing that parents ought to be doing is monitoring their children's phone use and internet and computer use, knowing what your kids' passwords are, knowing that you can check on what they do in the event that you feel that you need to. That is not only your right as a parent, it's your responsibility.
Given the statistics that we opened with there, that a majority of kids admit to doing it by the time they're 18, do you think that it works to tell children you just don't do this, is not a good idea, and it leaves you legally vulnerable? Or do we live in an era where this is just something parents have to deal with and it's better to just help kids understand the issues surrounding it?
It certainly doesn't work to tell kids not to do it and expect that they won't do it. Parenting would be a super easy job if that were the case. But what it does do is it starts the conversation. And I hope it also starts a conversation with kids on what to do when the situation might need adult intervention. In other words, I think parents should probably expect that your kids are going to participate in this behavior, probably, hopefully, consensually. And they're going to make their own decisions about that. Hopefully it will never harm them socially or legally, but it's probably going to happen. And kids need to know, though, that when that consent element changes or when they start feeling uncomfortable about something that went on in the context of that relationship, that's when they absolutely need to tag in an adult and talk to a responsible adult. And then my hope is that adults don't overreact, but that they look at the situation, figure out what's going on, and if it's not something that your child can handle by themselves, you know, by potentially going and talking to that person and saying, look, this feels uncomfortable, can we please stop this? Or if it expands past that, then talking to the other child's parent.
And we leave it there. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Michelle Chater is an attorney in private practice in Madison. She joined us to talk about the legal consequences for teenagers who engage in sexting.
More to come here on Central Time.